Dolphins Monday opening drive is on the air. Sunday has come and gone, but our Fins coverage is still full gear. We'll bring you live coverage of Coach Philbin's Monday press conference, plus a complete breakdown of yesterday's game. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive right now.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy Dolphins Monday. And it is a happy Dolphins Monday after the Dolphins beat the Rams 17-14 yesterday afternoon at Sun Life Stadium with former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie and John Kingemi. I'm Jesse Agler with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon on the radio and online at Dolphins.com. We'll bring you live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference coming up in just a moment or two. Coach will address the media for the first time after watching the game film. And it may not be the prettiest game film he's ever watched, but I'll take a win with ugly game film over a loss with pretty game film any day.
Hey, just get a win, right? Just win, baby. You know, and it wasn't terribly ugly. You know, they did some really good things as well. You know, a few penalties, no turnovers, things like that that can contribute to help you get a win. But at the same time, bottom line is get a win.
Absolutely, OJ. And some of the young guys still progressing in the way they're playing, and Ryan Tannehill and Olivier Vernon, and you get Marlon Moore contributing. And the regular suspects were around. Cameron Wake was there and Carlos Dansby. And, you know, it was good to see a team come together and really fight back after being down early. It could have been a lot worse than 6-0. And the Miami Dolphins were able to stay on track with their defense, let their offense catch up, a couple big plays to open up the third quarter, and that separation was just enough to hold on at the end.
A lot of the numbers were ugly. St. Louis put up a lot of offense, especially on the ground in the first half. The offensive numbers weren't all that exciting. Reggie Bush, 1.4 yards per carry, but kind of lost in that shuffle, if you can believe it, is Ryan Tannehill, 21 of 29 for 185 yards. Now, the yardage number is not, you know, out of control by any stretch of the imagination, but two touchdowns, no interceptions, a career-high 112.0 QB rating, another very, very efficient, and that might even be underselling what Ryan Tannehill did yesterday.
He played solid, and he played smart football, and I think the Miami Dolphins can win a lot of football games with Ryan Tannehill having pedestrian numbers. And the most important stat, he did not turn the football over, and I think that's what kept Miami in the football game, kept them at the lead of the football game, and is going to keep them in a race that everybody is 3-3 now when you look around the AFC East. So a lot of smiles in South Florida, because now they feel like, hey, going into the bye week, we're going to get healthy, we're going to get everybody back on track, try to get this running game back on track. But this defense, you know, it was gashed early in the game. They came back and kept the Dolphins in place. So great time for the bye week right now.
How about that, OJ? Everybody in the AFC East 3-3. Raise your hand if you had that predicted before the start of the season. Welcome back to the Finsider Studio with O.J. McDuffie and John Kingemi. I'm Jesse Agler. Dolphins over the Rams yesterday, 17-14. A lot to talk about that the coach was asked about there, and we'll continue to break this game down between now and 1 o'clock. We'll also take your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS, 1-855-GO-FINS. And a lot of talk about special teams from yesterday. They had that situation where maybe you thought Brandon Fields had the green light to throw the football. I'm fine with him not doing that. But obviously, the fake punt was huge. And let's talk about that for a couple of minutes here, guys. Comes in the second half of this game. The Dolphins are able to take the clock. They get the ball at their own 20 with 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. At this point, it's 17-14, which ends up being the final score. 8:30 to go. They get a first down. They can't get another first down. They pick up 9 yards on first and 10. So second and one, Reggie got stuffed. Third and one, Reggie got stuffed. That was the somersault play. I guess he didn't get stuffed, but he didn't pick up the yard. So they're forced into a punt situation. They fake the punt at their own 40-yard line in a three-point game. They pick it up. They're able to bleed some more clock. St. Louis doesn't get the ball back until 1:52 to go in the fourth quarter. So they ran it down from 8:30 to 1:52, thanks in large part to the fake punt. They said they saw something, you know, when they were getting ready for St. Louis. They put the play in. They knew if the opportunity was there, they were going to try it with Chris Clemens, and they executed it perfectly in order to pick up the first down. Huge play in this game.
I think the biggest thing about that was Reggie's effort on the play before. I mean, that just gave a lot of guys a lot of momentum, a lot of oomph. You know, the way he went after that first down to play before, I thought the line was still hype at that time. I think everybody coming on the field was still in a real aggressive mood. So I think it was a perfect timing, you know, just from Reggie's play on third down, John, that gave him the momentum to even go for that. And they came off the line on that play.
Totally agree with you, OJ. And also, I think the Miami Dolphins learned from the week before that you have to stay in bounds in those types of situations. Ryan Tannehill, he gets the ball first and 10 at the 20-yard line. He runs a play-action pass where he rolls out. He had an opportunity to waltz out of bounds. You know what he did? He fell down. And he kept that clock going. And so did Devon Best.
Yes.
There's a nine-yard completion from Tannehill to Best. He could have went out of bounds. He fell down before he went out of bounds, and that kept the clock moving. And then you add to it the decision to fake the punt. You keep the ball. You possess the football. And as Jesse said, you give it back to the Rams with under 2 minutes left to go. You couple all those things in, and that's smart football. And that's what you're getting out of Coach Philbin and this new staff. You're getting guys are thinking through scenarios on Saturdays, on Fridays, on Thursday, and they're learning from what they've done the prior week. And I think that's what you're going to see in this bye week. You're going to get a smarter team coming out of this bye week prepared to win a division game on the road.
No question about it. More praise for Ryan Tannehill from Joe Philbin in that press conference. Says never seems like there's that play where he's throwing it and there's two or three dark blue jerseys in yesterday's case, St. Louis guys down there. You know, maybe the location could be better, maybe it could be a little higher, a little lower, this shoulder versus that shoulder, lead them a little more, lead them a little less, but that's what happens. No quarterback ever makes every throw perfectly, but how encouraging is it that the guy, six games into his NFL career, the coach comes out and says, yeah, there wasn't really a throw where we wish he wouldn't have done that.
If there's one thing you could say about a quarterback, and especially a rookie quarterback, is that, you know what, I like the way he protects the football. You're going to have a chance to win a lot of football games. And I know that Ryan likes to press the football vertically. He loves to throw it down because he's accurate. He has a strong arm. He wants to show off all the ability that he has playing the position at a high level, at the highest level. But he's making great decisions, and that's what you like. You like to see the ball located in some plays, OJ, where he's not throwing into a headache for a wide receiver, or he's maybe given that opportunity to the receiver to catch the football. But if not, it may look low and outside, but it's there for a reason.
You know, Ryan is playing within himself.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to see a rookie guy. You got a rookie quarterback that sees all these other rookies out there putting up big numbers. Ryan's not – he's not about that. He's about doing what's right for this offense. He takes what's given to him. He doesn't go crazy out there. And like you said, he doesn't make the big mistakes. The best thing that coach says, he's throwing it to the right guys. It might not be as accurate as we want, but for me, it looks really accurate.
Right.
But Coach Philbin's he's really crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. He wants to be a little bit more accurate. I thought he played a heck of a game, and he kept us in good position to win that game.
112.0 QB rating is a career high, 72% completion percentage a career high, 2 passing touchdowns in a game, first time he has ever done that. Good start for Ryan Tannehill through 6 games. Pretty good start for the Dolphins also, 3-3. Everybody feeling good after back-to-back wins heading into the bye week also. First time the Dolphins follow up a win with another win this season. So kind of cross that off the checklist as far as Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill accomplishments. Welcome back to the show with John Kajemi, former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie. I'm Jesse Agler. Dolphins beat the Rams yesterday afternoon 17-14 at Sun Life Stadium. They will head into the bye week 3-3. 3-3, that's sort of the magical number around the NFL right now, especially in the AFC East, where the Patriots, the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, all 3 wins and 3 losses through 6 weeks in the season. We mentioned it briefly earlier, but it probably bears worth repeating and discussing a little bit. Nobody would have predicted that all 4 of those teams, 3-3 right now. What do you got? 2 teams in the AFC right now, 3 teams in the AFC with winning records? In the entire AFC, 3 teams with winning records. And if the Broncos beat the Chargers tonight, there will be 2 teams in the AFC with winning records. Parity in the National Football League.
You know what? I would think there's a lot of those teams that are in the AFC East that reside there. Some have smiles on their faces that they're 3-3. Some have frowns on their faces that they're 3-3. And I would think the Miami Dolphins, maybe not smiling that they're 3-3 because they've played better than their record, but boy, up in New England, they've got to be shaking their heads because they went on the road and lose a game to Seattle with a heck of a young quarterback of their own in Russell Wilson. So the Jets are probably lucky they're at 3-3 right now because they finally play a complete game yesterday. And the Bills, for all the noise that they made in the offseason and all the acquisitions that they made on the defensive side of the football, they have to be, you know, there are a lot of a lot of guys losing their hair up in Buffalo right now.
Yeah, big win for them yesterday, though. But I tell you, you're right, though. I mean, the Dolphins, I think they're happy because you can see the progress. You know, it's been in some close games. And we
lost. All 3-3s are not created equal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, we had a couple close games that we lost there, you know, on the road. Then you go on the road and get a win in Cincinnati when it's close. You get a close win at home, you know, and that's the difference. Now, you know, you got some teams that have been on roller coaster rides, so they really don't know where they're going. And I think that's the best position that we're in right now. And it's exciting. It really is because every single game, you know, you look at the blowout, you know, we got beat against Houston. We had chances without turnovers. I mean, granted, we got beat down. Then we go and beat an Oakland team that's, you know, they even played some good games and some bad games. But then to get in those close games in overtime and lose them, then get two close games again and get wins, I think we're heading the right direction with that.
No question about it. And you go back to the 3-3 thing for a moment. I mean, Bill Belichick right now probably wants to kill somebody, and they're 3-3. And Joe Philbin and the Dolphins feeling pretty good about themselves. Jets feeling a little bit better. Buffalo probably feeling a little bit better after they sort of maybe possibly sort of stabilized themselves. Weird game yesterday with them, by the way. Jay Feely hits a 60-yard field goal and then misses a 38-yarder that would have won it, and the Bills end up taking that thing in overtime. All right, I want to get to a bunch of your phone calls. 1-855-GO-FINS, 1-855-GOFINS. We start here in Hollywood with David. How are you, David?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Love hearing the show after a good Dolphins victory.
Makes it a little more fun, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And just wanted to say, yesterday, the rookies stepped up. Olivier Vernon had those two huge sacks that put him out of field goal range a couple times. Zerlin, you know, he had that big leg, but he missed those kicks because of some good defense. And I just wanted to say that Ryan Tannehill is playing amazing right now. He's not turning the football over in the last couple games, which has led to some victories for us. And he's learning how to win and learning how to not, like, give the game away. You know, most rookies, you know, they try to take they try to take some risks that are unnecessary sometimes, but he really knows how to win. He's a winner, I think, and he's going in the right direction. And I like that in the six games, each game his quarterback rating has just increased each and every game. So that's a good sign. And going into the bye week, we're looking good. We should be, you know, 5-1, but it's not a problem because we have the Jets coming up, and we're going to destroy them and take the lead in the division, hopefully. So
like
thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, David. Appreciate the call. 1-855-GO-FINS, 1-855-GOFINS. Quoting Ben Volen's Twitter right here, he had Jeff Fisher quoted, and I imagine Fisher said this in a press conference yesterday after the game on Ryan Tannehill, on rattling Ryan Tannehill, and this goes to David's point just now, quote, he's got too much poise, too much experience in the system. Six games, and I know it was the system at Texas A&M, but before the draft, all we heard was, well, he played more wide receiver than quarterback. No. Jeff Fisher, as respected a guy as there is as a head coach of the National Football League, is saying that the kid who has played six games in the National Football League has got too much poise and too much experience to be rattled by a blitz. St. Louis tried it. They got to him a couple times in the first half, didn't sack him in the second half. It's pretty incredible what he's accomplishing.
That's what you want to do to a rookie quarterback, too. You want to confuse him. You want to put pressure on him. You want to do different things and make him do things that he's not supposed to do, throw where he's not supposed to throw, bait him into certain situations. And Ryan, he has handled it. He's handled it really well. And that's key going forward. You know, that's key going forward for a lot of reasons. Now, how many teams are going to try it now? You know, we get some guys getting deep on them, and they're trying certain blitz packages at us, and we start making some connections. How many teams are going to abandon this thing that you do to most rookies, which is put a lot of pressure on them, try to confuse them, blitz them from different areas? Ryan, you see him changing the play, changing the protection. You don't see that in rookies a lot of times, John.
This offense requires the quarterback to make a lot of decisions at the line of scrimmage. And what we've seen over 6 weeks is that not many times has Ryan Tannehill either set the protection, you know, incorrectly or not identified somebody or missed a guy coming off the edge. He's done a nice job of getting guys in the right spots, and he's taken advantage of the man-to-man coverage when it presents it, and he's not forcing the football, which Coach Philbin loves about Ryan Tannehill. And as David said in the call, you know, that quarterback rating keeps creeping up. You know, the one thing that matters are wins and losses. But when you take a look at that stat sheet, if you're not turning it over and you're making good decisions on offense, you're not forcing it, you always have a chance to stay in football games. And Ryan Tannehill right now, you know, those two, three, four things he's doing at a high level, probably just like some of the other rookies that are having success around the league.
72% completion percentage, not bad either. And good job by David bringing up Olivier Vernon, who had a big game yesterday, real big game yesterday for the rookie out of Miami. Get to the phones in a moment. First, a question from the live chat at Dolphins.com comes from a guest didn't want to put his name on it. He says, who do you think will step up opposite Hartline and Bess at wideout? Will Gaffney play after the bye week? What is your take on Moore or Armstrong? My take on Marlon Moore is that he had 3 catches for 46 yards and a touchdown yesterday. I think Marlon Moore, I don't know if it's a foothold on this thing yet, but he certainly did more yesterday as a third wide receiver than anybody had in any of the previous 5 games so far this season. So he's probably got a leg up as that number 3 wide receiver heading into the bye week. The questions with Jabbar Gaffney, look, if he's ready, he'll play. He wasn't ready yesterday. They deemed him not ready, and that's probably some combination of familiarity with the offense, chemistry with Ryan Tannehill. Comfort maybe is a better word than chemistry, you know, for Ryan Tannehill with him, and there might be a little physical thing there too, just as far as getting in football shape after missing the amount of time he did. But, you know, I don't know. I kind of see that third wide receiver spot right now as if you step up and you make a play, you get another game. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it, and I don't know that the coaches are the same way, but Marlon Moore, you did enough. You get another shot in the next game against the Jets.
This is a big week for Armstrong and Gaffney. It really is, because you get these 3 days where you're not really going through game planning. During the week of a game, it's hard to get guys caught up to speed that haven't been around. You got to go with the guys that are familiar with the offense, because you have very little time out there on the field to get it going. This week right here is a week where they can get a bigger, better grasp of the playbook, as well as get more reps, you know, in these 3 or 4 practices they're going to have with Ryan Tannehill. So this week here is critical for those guys. The bye week is critical because they miss all the time in the preseason. So going forward, if they can get it done this week and they can include them a little bit in the game plan next week, then you can see the progression start to happen with those guys.
Yeah, and of course, it's impossible to make any sort of prediction right now as far as who's going to be active for the next game 13 days from now. Oftentimes those decisions aren't made until about 90 minutes before kickoff. You got this bye week, then you got an entire week of Jets practice before you get to make those kinds of decisions. Dolphins 17, Rams 14 yesterday afternoon. Dolphins Monday opening drive continues until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Also, Joe Philbin will join John and I in studio coming up on the Finsiders this afternoon. That show from 5 to 7 p.m. right here on 940 Wins and on Dolphins.com.
Dolphins lead by 3. This would tie the football game and set an NFL record in the process. Here's the snap. Kick is up. He pushed it to the left. The Dolphins are going to win this football game. But I got to tell you, he had distance on it.
I think he did. I think he had enough.
The Miami Dolphins have beat the Rams 17-14 and head into the bye week with a 3-3 record.
Greg Zuerlein, 66-yard attempt. NFL record 63. Anytime you're kicking from the other side of the field,
that just didn't look right.
You know, it's pretty long. He had the distance, but it really never had a chance. It was left the whole way. It's Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose, Bob Greasy on the call yesterday afternoon as the Dolphins beat the Rams 17-14. A lot of yards for the St. Louis Rams in this game. Not a lot for the Miami Dolphins, but points matter more than yards. And the Dolphins did do a nice job adjusting. St. Louis ran all over in the first half. Coming into the game yesterday, the most rushing yards the Dolphins had allowed in a game was 93. That was against the Jets. In the first half yesterday, St. Louis ran for 137, but they ran for just 25 yards in quarters 3 and 4. Defense stepped up, made plays when they needed to. First possession for St. Louis. They get the 44-yard play, end up having to settle for a long field goal. Second St. Louis possession in the first quarter, they get a 65-yard play, end up having to settle for a field goal. And so though they had kind of dominated there, they're only up 6-0, and the Dolphins come back, take the lead, and I guess never really look back. Somebody in the chat mentioned this bend-but-don't-break defense is really scary, but it's working, so I guess you don't change it. Let's clarify something. Bend but don't break is not like an actual game plan that they go into it and say, hey, let's bend and not break. It's just something that happens, and you'd much rather bend and not break, you know, but you'd certainly prefer to not bend at all. And that's, I'm sure, what the coach would tell you.
You'd rather go in shutdown mode if you're a defense. You don't want to come out and give up anything. But as Coach Philbin said in his press conference, this is an offense and a defense that made great adjustments at halftime. You take a look, Jesse, you said that, you know, the Rams rushed for 137 yards in the first half. Well, they had 462 total yards in that game, but they only had 168 of those yards come in the second half. So the Miami Dolphins did a great job of adjusting at halftime and come out and limit the big plays, because the big plays were gashing the Miami Dolphins, and they didn't gash them on the scoreboard. They only allowed 6 points in that first half. You mentioned the 65-yard pass. You mentioned the plus 40 run, you know, to start out the game. But, OJ, they kept them off the scoreboard, and that's the most impressive thing you can say about this Miami Dolphin defense. One, they limited their exposure on the scoreboard, and two, they made those adjustments at halftime.
I think I looked up, and they had 294 yards at halftime. So, you know, at halftime, they were talking, okay, we've only got two field goals, but look how we're moving the ball. Look how they were excited. They had, even with the score being the way it was, I think they were down 10-6. They were still excited about the fact they moved the ball and their opportunities they would have in the second half. And for the Dolphins to make those adjustments and give up, you know, the 8 points, you know, the touchdown by Bradford and then, you know, 2-point conversion. I mean, that's a stellar second half right there. And you really gotta pat yourself on the back a little bit about that and draw some really good, you know, conclusions on how they handled that second half right there.
1-855-5 Go Fins, the telephone number 1-855-GOFINS. Danielle is up in Virginia. How are you, Danielle?
Well, how are you guys, especially after yesterday?
Much better, thank you.
I definitely had a heart attack. So I've been a Fins fan since I was a kid. And, you know, watching Dan Marino and then watching, you know, the Dolphins struggle to come back up, and looks like yesterday and the week before they were resurfacing. And as you were just mentioning there, you know, about how they went in the first quarter and kind of the second quarter started revving up a bit, but they came back after halftime and they were just ready to go. What do you think they're going to work on? You know, with the bye week, they have 2 weeks to work on stuff. What do you think they're going to work on?
Yeah,
you know, to be ready for the Jets.
It's a good question. Thanks, Danielle. And look, you take the back-to-back wins. It was ugly. It was a little bit ugly last week against Cincinnati. It was certainly ugly yesterday. And that almost works out perfectly for a coach, doesn't it? Yeah, we got the win. But, guys, here's a long list of things to work on the next couple weeks.
And that's what today's for and tomorrow's for. They're going to go back through that Rams tape and take a look at what they did well and what they were deficient in. And one of the main reasons they couldn't move the ball effectively was they weren't able to run the football. You know, Reggie Bush was running at a high clip, and this running game's been able to run at will in the beginning of the season. Well, the last few weeks, they've been at a stalemate. They haven't been able to win the battle at the line of scrimmage, and that may be due to what defenses are doing to the Miami Dolphins running game, whether they're bringing another guy into the box, whether they're shifting right before the snap and guys aren't on their assignments, and maybe there's a 2 or 3 yard run and we're trying to make it a home run every time. But I'm sure that the offense and Jim Turner, the offensive line coach, and Mike Sherman, the offensive coordinator, they're going to get together and get back, because remember, Coach Philbin's philosophy on defense, it's stopping the run. On offense, it's being able to run the football. For the Miami Dolphins to win over the long haul, OJ, they're going to have to find a way. When they want to run it, they're going to have to rely on the running game.
It's tough. It really is tough sledding in there. You know, and what they have to unclog that middle. They have to. And the way you do that we talk about, is got to get the wide receivers going. You have to get the wide receivers going. You know, Brian Hartline's had some monster games, and teams know that. He's not going to sneak up on anybody right now. Devon Best, one of our best receivers, he's inside. It's easier to handle a guy inside. A lot of times you can go inside coverage, outside coverage, on him, over the top, different ways of handling guys like that. What has to happen is that third guy. We have to have more Marlon Moore sightings. We have to see what Anthony Armstrong can do. We have to see what Jabbar Gaffney can do. Those are the guys that are going to make the difference and make more room for guys like Reggie Bush and guys like Lamar Miller, give those guys room to run.
And you know what? It was nice to see Ryan check down to Bush yesterday and find Anthony Fasano for a couple of catches in big situations, just to move the chains, because that'll soften up a coverage in between the hashes and in between the numbers as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, with all the talk about not being able to run the ball, and they couldn't, Reggie, 12 carries for 17 yards. That's less than 1.5 yards per carry, and they didn't really try and run it outside of that. They never went to Lamar Miller. As Joe Philbin said in his press conference earlier, Reggie wasn't gassed. They never really had the need to go to somebody else, but they did use that short passing game as an extension of the running game a little bit, and Reggie had 5 catches for 44 yards, so you have to remember that when you talk about the struggles in the run game.
I think so, and that's where they went to. If you can't run the football and you can't run it consistently, how else can you get the football to your playmakers? It looked like they were trying to completely take Brian Hartline out of the football game, so you go to Devon Best. You know, he led all Dolphin receivers, I believe, in catches yesterday. And you go to Reggie Bush. You go to Anthony Fasano. You do it with moving the pocket with Ryan Tannehill, getting out on the edge and hitting Javorski Lane in the flat. You know, hitting Charles Clay once, hitting Reggie Bush hitting your tight end. You move the pocket and you try to get creative and be able to control the game. If you can't run it, control it with that short passing game and then take a shot like they did with Marlon Moore earlier in the game. They were able to connect for that 29-yard touchdown. So you weren't able to stretch them vertically a whole bunch, but you're able to contain the football and possess the football and not turn it over. That was the key.
Well, what's amazing is 48 plays. You know, that's so few plays.
For this offense.
For this offense, it's so few plays. But still, like you said, to hold on to the ball as much as they did in the critical drive after the fake punt. That drive right there that Jesse talked about earlier.
Huge.
To be able to turn that over. And the best thing about that, too, was with the penalty in there as well. You know, it started at 2 minutes, and then it got down to a minute 52. Then by the time they got the ball, it was a minute 41 seconds
and
left, and they had a long way to go, and that was critical as well.
Absolutely. That weird, you know, kind of back-to-back penalty thing with the punts there at the end of regulation was massive. But, yeah, that drive for the Dolphins was unbelievable. 8.5 minutes left. St. Louis doesn't get it back until after the two-minute warning. Yeah, the fake punt in there as well. And the fake punt, how about that? It's amazing. It comes after Devon Best picks up 9 yards on first down, and they can't get a yard on second. Reggie flips over, can't get that yard on third down, and then they do the fake punt at their own 40. It's a gutsy call. If it doesn't work out, man, if it doesn't work out, it gets ugly. But they said they knew it was going to be there. It was there, and the Dolphins were able to pick it up, and that was a huge, huge part of the win yesterday afternoon.
Tannehill out of the shotgun. Now he steps up, maybe changes the play at the line of scrimmage. Seems to be. Rams are blitzing a lot against them. Back to throw. Here they come. They pick it up. Gets it off. Got right up the ball. Lamar got it. Touchdown.
All right. Oh, Marlon Moore just ran right by him down the sideline for an easy touchdown.
A 29-yard touchdown pass. Tannehill, his third of the year. To Marlon Moore, his first.
First of two touchdown passes yesterday for Ryan Tannehill. First game in his career where he throws two TD passes. Marlon Moore, 29 yards. Anthony Fasano, 1 yard. Got it done. Little double move. And another play, by the way, where he takes a hit, Tannehill,
there you go.
And delivers the ball.
And that's the best thing about that. You know, it's a guy that's smart enough to know the blitz is coming, but he knows he's protected, and he's just got to hold on to the ball just a little bit longer to give this guy a shot, John. And that's something you can't teach. The guy's got to have the wherewithal and the mental strength to hang in there, know the blitz is coming, but know he has time to get that ball off.
It takes courage, and it takes a guy that's smart to know where it's coming from and how much time he's going to have to deliver the football, and he actually anticipated that really nicely. He threw the football as Marlon Moore was getting by the undercoverage under that corner from Jenkins and able to slip by him and beat the safety with the throw. So that was nice to see from Ryan. Good anticipation, but better courage in the pocket.
And what a great call, too, with an offense right there. DBs, if they've got a blitz coming, they think the quarterback
now
has this much time.
Yeah.
So you give a double move, they're cooked every time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, we got a question that I figured we were going to get at some point. And, you know, try not to talk too much about the officiating. Look, the last 2 weeks, the reviews, the replays, they've not gone the Dolphins' way. Now, I'm not saying the calls are right or the calls are wrong. I'm just saying they haven't gone the Dolphins' way. And it seemed like in every review in both Cincinnati and yesterday against the Rams, when there was a review, it went the other way. And yesterday, we got the old tuck rule. We don't often get to see the tuck rule, but when it rears its ugly little head, it is cause for discussion. And so, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily understand the tuck rule. First of all, it doesn't make sense, so not understanding it is totally reasonable and understand. It's a bad rule. I think it's only existed since they put it in like the late 90s, and there's almost no support, I feel like, for the tuck rule. So one of these springs, when the owners are having their meetings and the rules committee is meeting and they do all that, you're eventually going to hear, oh, the tuck rule has been repealed. I don't know why it hasn't happened yet. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it has to happen because it's an absurd rule, and it bit the Dolphins in the backside yesterday. First possession of the second half for St. Louis, Cam Wake with the strip sack, what we thought was a strip sack, and the Dolphins recovered it. I think Jared Odrick fell on the ball, and they end up going to the replay and saying, no, it's a tuck rule play, which essentially makes it an incomplete pass. The tuck rule, in a short way, I guess, is basically the rule states that if a quarterback goes to throw the ball, changes his mind, and then brings the ball back to his body, tucks it, and loses it in that process, it's an incomplete pass. So it goes against logic because – okay, it's incomplete if he's throwing forward, I get that, but if it's on your body, it's a fumble. It's sort of the exception to the normal rule there, and for whatever reason, if you were throwing and you decide, no, I don't want to throw, when you bring it back to your body and you lose the ball, it's an incomplete pass. That's the Tuck rule. It pretty much started the entire Patriot dynasty in the AFC Championship game in the snow against the Oakland Raiders. That's the rule. They got it right yesterday. You know, understand that. They got it right. That was a Tuck rule. It's just a stupid
rule.
But
your initial thought was right on. It makes no sense. Right. It really doesn't make any sense, because if you go to throw the football and you decide not to and you start to tuck the football, you're almost a running back at
Correct.
That point, and you should be allowed to get the football stripped from your being. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. The Miami Dolphins were up 17-6. They cause a turnover, and you felt like the momentum was going to start going and snowball in the Miami Dolphins' direction. But you get the strip from Wake. You get the fumble recovery, which you think, from Jared Odrick, and then they imply the tuck rule. So the Miami Dolphins were starting to roll a little bit at that point. It takes a little steam out of you, because the defense had been getting gashed for a couple of big plays in that first half. Now they get to come back and get aggressive in the second half.
Well, that was the nice thing about it. You know, that review, they end up, you know, okay, they got a punt right there, but it didn't, like, take all the wind out of their sails. Right. And then there was another overturned fumble the next time St. Louis had the ball, and the Dolphins ended up losing, I think, like 40 yards of field position
yeah.
that time. But it was like, okay, like, they didn't fold up their house after that, and that's obviously a really good
yeah,
sign.
Yeah, but on that tuck rule, though, we had a short field coming right there.
Yeah, oh,
yeah.
For sure.
That's the difference. You never know. 3 points, maybe 7 points could be a huge difference in that game. So with a short field right there, possible, you know, it changed field position a lot on that one play.
With the punt, the Dolphins on the tuck rule would have had the ball at the St. Louis 38. They end up getting it at their own 20. That's a huge swing in field position on the Givens fumble that they called an incomplete pass, another one I don't
right.
agree with. The Dolphins would have had the ball at their own 46. They end up after the punt getting it at their own 6-yard line.
That was
line.
Crazier than the tuck rule,
yes,
in my
it
opinion.
Was. Finsiders coming up 5 o'clock this afternoon. Joe Philbin will join us in studio. For O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi, I'm Jesse Agler. We'll talk to you 5 p.m. right here on 940wins and dolphins.com.